Last time, when we were together on the passive study, we began to study and look at the doctrine of hell. And we were looking under our third main point of the study on hell, the inhabitants of hell. We saw last time that there are lost souls in hell, and that there are also demonic creatures in hell. Thirdly, there are flesh-eating birds in hell. Flesh-eating birds in hell. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 34. Isaiah chapter 34. In Isaiah chapter 34, first we'll want to read together verses 9 through 11. Isaiah 34, verses 9 through 11. In the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, in the dust thereof into brimstone, in the land thereof shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched, night nor day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever, from generation to generation. It shall lie waste, none shall pass through it forever and ever. But the cormorant and the bittern shall possess it. The owl also and the raven shall dwell in it. And he shall stretch upon it the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness. We're still in Isaiah chapter 34. Let's look at verses 14 and 15. The wild beasts of the desert shall also meet with the wild beasts of the island, and the satyr shall cry to his fellow, and the screech owl also shall rest there and find for herself a place of rest. There shall the great owl make her nest, and lay, and hatch, and gather under her shadow. There shall the vultures also be gathered, every one with her mate. So we see there are flesh-eating birds are going to be in hell. Number four, also worms. Worms. Isaiah chapter 66 with me, in verse 24. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. And then earlier we read in Mark chapter 9 and verses 45 to 48, Jesus says, the same statement three times he says it, so it must be important. He wants us to remember. He says this, describing hell, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. He says that three times. So we see the inhabitants of hell, lost souls, demonic creatures, flesh-eating birds, and worms. An article, this is a few years back, an article by the Associated Press states, strange marine creatures have been discovered living in a dark, deep sea waters heated by volcanic vents in the Gulf of California, according to a joint U.S.-Mexican expedition. Peter Lonsdale, Scripps Institution of Oceanography geologist who heads a scientific team, returned Monday from the expedition in the Guaymas Basin about 600 miles southeast of San Diego. Two similar finds have been made in the open sea. There was the first in the semi-enclosed basin. The discoveries of red snake-like worms that live in a long white tubes in the mild deep waters raise a question about the necessity of sunlight to support life, Lonsdale said. The worms were found near undersea geysers in 60-foot-high sulfide cones that warm the water. Scientists took pictures of the worms and other creatures similar to those found in 1976 in two seafloor vents off Ecuador and Mexico, Lonsdale said. All three geysers are located along spreading center cracks in the Earth's crust. These centers are where lava is pushing up to the ocean floor as giant plates of the Earth's crust pull apart, Lonsdale said. So here we see then the inhabitants of hell, worms. Now the fourth main point in our study on the doctrine of hell is hell is a place of consciousness. You see, hell is not a place for souls to just exist as if asleep or unconscious. It is real, literal, and conscious. And we're going to turn to Luke chapter 16. I mentioned this passage two times already in our study on the doctrine of hell, but now we're going to go there. Go to Luke 16 with me, and we're going to read down verses 19, Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. We want to notice that Jesus taught that the rich man in Luke 16 who died and went to hell was conscious. He was awake. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. In desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Notice from our passage that we just read on hell, we see that the rich man died and he went to hell and he was conscious. We saw as we read this passage that the rich man could see because he lifted up his eyes in hell. Not only could he see, but he could speak because we saw how he cried out to Abraham. Not only that, but he could hear because he expected an answer from Abraham. Not only could he see and speak and hear, but he could feel because he sought water for his lips. Certainly then, he could smell if all the other senses were present. We also see that the rich man here in hell could reason because he sought compassion for his five brothers because he found out that hell is a losing proposition and to live without God for the pleasures of this world, its riches and gains alone is wrong, but it's too late. And then that we saw also. Number 7, he could remember. The memory will be there for eternity. To remember all the past over opportunities when he could have been saved will add to the suffering. Memories of a misspent life added to his suffering. So we see once again, under point number 4, hell is a place of consciousness. My dear friend listening today, you know, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So again, it's your fault if you go to hell, because God has provided a way of escape from hell. And that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you've never believed on him, my dear friend, you never believed that he died, he was buried and rose again the third day to save you, to forgive you, to be the payment for your sins. So God the Father would forgive your sins. Amen. And that you would secure a place in heaven. That's what it means to believe on Christ. If you've never done that, my dear friend, and you don't do that before you die, then you're going to end up where this rich man did, in a place called hell. Hell is a place of consciousness, just as that rich man, and he's there still today. You will be able to see, you will be able to speak, you will be able to hear, you will be able to feel, you will be able to smell, you will be able to reason, and your memory will be intact. My dear friend, you don't have to go there. Simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Finally, our fifth main point of our study on the doctrine of hell is hell is a place of suffering. Hell is a place of suffering. Let's look at how it's described. Matthew 25 with me, if you would. In Matthew chapter 25, in verse number 46, Matthew 25, verse 46, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment." Hell is described as a place of everlasting punishment. Not only is it a place of everlasting punishment, but it is a place of everlasting fire. Matthew 25 again, verse 41. Matthew 25, verse 41. "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." So we see right there that God didn't create hell for man. He created hell for the devil and his fallen angels, the angels that followed him when he rebelled against God. But that's where you'll end up, in a place of everlasting punishment, everlasting fire, if you don't trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It is also described as a place of everlasting burnings. Look in Isaiah chapter 33. Isaiah chapter 33. In verse number 14. "The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings?" Hell is also described. We're seeing that hell is a place of suffering. Hell is described as a place, a furnace of fire. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, first in verse 42 with me. "And he shall cast them into a furnace of fire." Look also in verse 50 of Matthew 13. "And shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Hell is a place of unquenchable fire. Look it in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3 with me. Matthew chapter 3, Matthew chapter 3, in verse 12, "Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Hell is also described as a lake of fire in Revelation 20, verse 15. It's also described as a place of fire and brimstone in Revelation 14, 10. It's described as a place of devouring fire in Isaiah 33:14. Before I end, I want to read something to you. It's called Hell's First Moment Throughout Eternity, written by Joseph Nimskern. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Isaiah 13:8, they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed at one another. Their faces shall be as flames. Psalm 116, verse 3, the sorrows of death compass me, and pains of hell get a hold upon me. I found trouble in sorrow. What mortal mind can begin to perceive this side of hell, what the burning will be like? Let us see if this will give you another look at lost loved ones and friends, acquaintances, and their fate if they are not saved, maybe even your fate. The burning fall. Revelation 20, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Try to imagine, for every second throughout eternity, your body with the most excruciating sunburn. Add to that the awful pain of your whole frame scalded with boiling water. To this add the agony of bodily movement. The skin stretches. Untold daggers of pain flash through your body. You want to hold still, but the burning from the flames will not allow it. The bubbling brimstone makes you scream. Your hair is on fire. Your feet and hands blister while you gnaw your tongue, trying to relieve the torment. Your throat is raw from screaming and wailing. Spasms of anguish drop you into the molten lava. You go under the surface, gnashing your teeth. The burning brimstone flows into your mouth, runs down your throat, into your stomach. You are on fire inside and out. Lava, red, hot, smoking, flows into your ears. As your eyes try to focus in the endless, everlasting, permanent dwelling place of total torment, in torturous surroundings with your burning, and a feeling of melting of your eyes overwhelms you, you look and focus on worms that have totally engulfed your body. They are crawling on and in you. You can feel them. A scream comes from your burning, flaming, fiery lips. A cry for water is felt throughout your whole being. You are falling in the darkness. You are feeling something solid. Oh, if you could only stop falling. Your body tries to cling to the solid surface. Suddenly, you are slipping. Again, you fall into the bubbling lake. You swallow another mouthful of burning slime. The horrid smell of blazing sulfur combined with the sickening odor of burning hair and scorched flesh. Nausea overwhelms you. Something suddenly reaches out of the darkness and grasps you in terror. They begin to gnash on you with their teeth. All the time you are both screaming at the top of your lungs. You shake the gnashing person off in the darkness, breathing heavily from the concentrated exertion. You fill your lungs with smoke. While you cough and gasp, the word water escapes your inflamed lips again. Your throat is on fire. Your tongue feels like a white hot iron against the parched roof of your mouth. Your gums pulsate with agony, while every nerve in your teeth stabs you with the flashes of indescribable permanent pain. The roar of the flames, the piercing screams of the doomed and damned seem to tear at your eardrums. Oh, for just a moment of silence, but it never comes. You can't run away this time. Thoughts of law-abiding so-called Christians didn't tell you of this place. Additionally, your thoughts go to and fro from the time you were in a Bible-believing preaching church. Thoughts that you can so clearly remember. You remember the time when the preacher was talking to you about this hopeless place of darkness and pain. He talked about Jesus and his saving blood. He told me that I was a sinner. Now I accept Jesus as my Savior. I accept what he did for me on the cross. Can't you hear me? I want to be saved. You know, born again. What the preacher said. Won't you listen? Can't you hear? Another scream escapes your burning lips. For eternity, you scream these words again and again, over and over, repeating these words, but at last, they go nowhere. Words, meaningless words, that can't be heard by God Almighty, but by the doom. I want to be born again. Can't you hear me? Why didn't someone tell me? Why didn't they again? Can't you hear me? Why didn't someone tell me? Why didn't they continue to tell me when I had ignored them? Didn't they care? The doomed tell you it won't work. Your words are not heard. The living and their prayers can't help. Their money won't help you here. You are condemned here for eternity just as we are. Another scream escapes your burning lips. No! My friend, if you don't trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's the place that you're going to end up. Won't you come right now, get down on your knees, and acknowledge to God that you're a sinner, that you deserved to go to hell when you die, but you believe in your heart that Christ died, he died for your sins, was buried and rose again to save you, to forgive your sins, to keep you out of that place of everlasting torment and pain, a place called hell. Won't you come today? Trust Christ, receive him into your heart by faith. Know when you die, you're going to heaven, and your sins are forgiven. Well, my friends, that's all the time we have on the Pastor's Study today. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today for the Pastor's Study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless you, and good day.